is Nightline.
Tonight, breaking news. A new indictment of former President Trump, facing at least 7 charges, including conspiracy and obstruction, over his handling of highly classified documents after leaving the White House. The first former president ever to be indicted on federal charges. Trump went to social media site Truth Social.
I'm innocent, and we will prove that very, very soundly and hopefully very quickly.
The results of an investigation of more than 100 classified documents found at his Mar-a-Lago estate last August. Plus, the political fallout. The leading contender for the 2024 GOP nomination, now under indictment for the second time. What it means for his political future.
Nightline. We'll be right back.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. We begin tonight with historic news about former President Trump. In a new federal indictment, now facing 7 charges, including one under the Espionage Act, over his alleged mishandling of hundreds of classified documents after leaving the White House. It's one of several criminal and civil investigations engulfing Trump as he seeks a return to the White House.
Tonight, former President Donald Trump is under federal indictment, charged by the Department of Justice after retaining hundreds of classified documents at his home in Mar-a-Lago after he left the White House, sources telling ABC News.
This is historic on so many levels. The first president indicted on federal charges. You have a former president, a leading candidate for the Republican presidential nomination in the upcoming election, who is potentially facing federal, state, and local charges as he is campaigning.
ABC News learning that the former president is facing at least 7 charges, including willful retention of national defense information, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and corruptly concealing a document or record.
Sources have told me the case is compelling and devastating, but we'll have to wait and see. I've been told to expect a speaking indictment that would lay out chapter and verse the government's case. The special counsel knows the American public will need transparency given the historic nature of these charges and the fact that we have such a divided nation.
If convicted, the charges he's facing could carry decades of potential prison time. The news the front-runner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination is facing federal charges is sending shockwaves through the political world.
This is a major moment in the campaign. There's nothing in federal law or the Constitution that says that a candidate who's indicted or even convicted can't run for president. But it's never happened before that one has been victorious, and there's good reasons for that.
The former president, who was hoping to return to the Oval Office, has been instructed to appear at a federal court in Miami at 3 p.m. on Tuesday.
When former President Trump arrives here at federal court in downtown Miami Tuesday afternoon, he will be formally placed under arrest by the very government that he was once elected to lead. He will then be booked and processed and appear before a federal magistrate to enter a plea. And based on his initial reaction to the charges, we expect that plea to be not guilty. That moment touches off a months-long prosecution, and the former president is prepared to fight.
Earlier tonight, Trump posted this video on his social media site, Truth Social.
I'm innocent, and we will prove that very, very soundly and hopefully very quickly. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump is turning his legal troubles into the centerpiece of his campaign. He is telling his supporters that investigators are going after him because what they really want to do is to go after them. Bill Clinton, decades ago, told voters, I feel your pain. What Donald Trump is effectively saying is, you feel my pain.
The charges come after a months-long investigation by special counsel Jack Smith into Trump's alleged refusal to return hundreds of highly classified documents. On August 8th of last year, the FBI executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago and found 27 boxes of government records, including 11 sets of classified material, 4 of which were marked top secret, and 1 an even higher classification, top secret /SCI, meant to only be viewed in a highly secure location. The unprecedented search happening after the FBI was tipped off that Trump's team had ignored a DOJ subpoena to turn over every classified document he had. Since then, investigators have recovered even more classified materials from Mar-a-Lago. In total, over 320 documents with classified markings. Today's news comes just days after ABC News learned the government obtained an audio recording from 6 months after leaving office, where Trump allegedly admits he kept a classified document involving a potential military action against Iran. The special counsel called on Trump's attorney to produce the Iran plan, but his attorneys, according to sources, were unable to find it. In a town hall meeting in Iowa last week, Trump was dismissive, suggesting he doesn't know what investigators are talking about.
I don't know anything about it. All I know is this. Everything I did was right. We have the Presidential Records Act, which I abided by 100%.
The Presidential Records Act says that all documents become the legal property of the National Archives after a president leaves office. But Trump has claimed all along that they belong to him, and he can declassify any documents he wants, telling Sean Hannity in September.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it.
Trump isn't the only member of the executive branch to take classified documents. President Joe Biden reported he had mistakenly taken confidential documents home, but says he's cooperating fully with the government, telling David Muir in February.
I've invited the Justice Department to come into every aspect of any place that I had any control of. There were no need for search warrants, were no need. Well, what do you need? Just come. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, wherever you want to go, you can go. That was totally different.
A separate special counsel, Robert Hur, has been appointed in that case. Former Vice President Mike Pence has also had some classified documents at his home in Indiana. Upon discovering them, Pence's team alerted authorities immediately and allowed them to search without a warrant. After the discovery, Pence saying it was all an intentional error.
Those classified documents should not have been in my personal residence. Mistakes were made.
That investigation has been closed without any need for prosecution. Earlier today, before the news of the indictment, the former vice president, who is also running for president, said,
"The unprecedented action of a federal indictment of a former president of the United States, I think, would be extraordinarily divisive in our country, and I think it would send a terrible message to the wider world. But again, let me be very clear. No one's above the law."
The big difference in those cases, though, is that both of those men and their teams complied fully and completely with the National Archives, with federal authorities who are trying to bring these documents back. That is not what happened with Donald Trump. It seems to be that Donald Trump did quite the opposite, which is in part why we're talking about those criminal charges.
Today's charges are just one of several legal problems Trump is facing. On March 30th, he became the first U.S. president to ever be indicted on criminal charges for allegedly falsifying records pertaining to hush money he paid to porn actress Stormy Daniels. He turned himself in on April 4th and pleaded not guilty.
So if all of this pans out, we're talking about charges that are far more significant, not to mention the fact that these are federal charges we're talking about. This is not a local prosecutor. This is not a state prosecutor. This is the federal government. This is the Department of Justice that has been looking at this for quite some time under a special counsel, someone that was separated a little bit from the chain of command of the Department of Justice.
Last month, a jury found Trump had sexually abused and defamed writer E. Jean Carroll, ordering him to pay $5 million in damages. He later called the claims against him a complete con job. The Justice Department is also investigating Trump's action after the 2020 election and during the January 6th Capitol riot. He's called the allegations a hoax, and his lawyer is seeking to throw them out. Still, even as his legal woes mount, at 30 points ahead of the other Republican presidential candidates, Trump remains the one to beat.
This lands in the middle of a red-hot political race that's already begun and is only going to get more intense. You've got Republican candidates who are going after Trump in a bunch of different ways. Most of them are steering clear of the legal process. But now that we see that the former president is going to face charges in multiple cases in multiple states, the dynamics could begin to shift.
I'm joined now by ABC's executive editorial producer, John Santucci. John, this is earth moving what happened this evening. What's been the former president's reaction?
You know, he's been huddled in Bedminster, New Jersey for much of this week, Byron. He has been waiting for this. This was the one that he was expecting. And you have to remember that Donald Trump is under investigation in multiple jurisdictions. We saw what happened in Manhattan. We know there's another case down in Georgia. This is the one they knew because we all saw it play out in real time. We saw multiple people going into a grand jury in Washington, D.C. We saw multiple visits by federal agents searching for documents down at Mar-a-Lago. So this was the one, if anything, that they knew what they were looking for because there had been so much communication between the two. He is definitely trying to understand it right now. They don't have the indictment. They have, you know, a basic understanding of what's in there. So I think we're going to have to wait the next couple days to actually see the facts and what the special counsel has built here.
And what, Donald Trump, are we going to see next Tuesday in Florida? And will law enforcement be positioned differently this time? It seemed when he was in New York, when he was indicted here, that the police were very polite and deferential to him. Will we see the same kind of treatment in Miami?
Well, I think it's going to be a really curious dynamic. So, I mean, this is a very different courthouse. This is not Manhattan. This is Miami, Florida. This is the Rocket Docket Federal Courthouse. We know that the marshals have been down there prepping for this, knowing this was a possibility. But you have to remember, too, that Donald Trump has federal agents to protect him. So the dialogue between Manhattan and Secret Service was obviously one they had to work out some kinks. But we have to imagine that federal agencies talking to each other, a little bit of a better process. As far as the question as to what Donald Trump shows up, remember that image, the one we saw of him in court? That's the guy, the guy that's quiet, the guy that is not really looking around, looking down. If you recall, at one point, the judge in that case in Manhattan had to ask Donald Trump to repeat himself because he couldn't hear him. I do think that this is really going to impact Donald Trump, and we have to look at Manhattan as Act One. I think it's going to be a total repeat.
And speaking of impact, how do you think will this impact him politically?
You know, it's a tough question to answer. I mean, you've obviously seen the polls so far. Our ABC poll has him out pretty far ahead of the contenders. But that is now. We are only in June. We have 18 months to go until we actually get to Election Day, if we can both believe that. I think it's going to be curious. I think that as people start to see the consequences, people start to see the charges. You know, as you and I were talking about earlier, Byron, this is a case where people have seen action, right? We've seen those images of documents spread out on the floor. It's a little more digestible around the dinner table for people. So I think we still have time and obviously a lot more candidates that are challenging Donald Trump. Going to be really curious to see how they play at this.
Jonathan Tucci, as always, brother, thank you so much.
Thank you, Byron.
And stay with us. We'll be back with more on how this breaking news will affect the former president's political future.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Joining me now with their reaction is Democratic strategist Donna Brazile and former Trump administration official Sarah Isgur. This is the second time former President Trump has been indicted within the last 3 months. So, Donna, put this into perspective for us and your reaction.
Well, first of all, we're in uncharted territory. Never before in the history of the United States has a former president been indicted, not once, but now twice. And remember, this is about the president of the United States, the former president, refusing to return documents after repeatedly being asked to return them, failure to comply with a subpoena. And we don't know all of the information that's in the indictment. But the fact that we're a nation of laws and the former president decided for whatever reason that he did not feel it was necessary to return these documents, that is why we're in this territory today.
Sarah, looking at the legal battle ahead, what's going to happen on Tuesday when Trump has a court date and the Justice Department lays out the details of its case?
Well, in some ways, it'll look very similar to what we saw in New York just a few months ago. But the big difference here, this will be a federal courthouse. It will be a federal prosecutor. Jack Smith has been around the block and then some when it comes to cases like this. Of course, he's never indicted a former president, but Jack Smith is a well-known prosecutor. He's a pit bull. He doesn't care what party you belong to, but he gets his guy. So I won't be surprised to see a speaking indictment from the Department of Justice, meaning we're going to get a real line-by-line layout of the department's case on Tuesday.
Now, the RNC is asking all those running to support the nominee. So, Donna, you're a former party chair. If Donald Trump is under indictment or on trial, will the party still back him, you think?
I think this is going to shake up the race, and many of the candidates will have to decide if the president is convicted of these crimes, should they stand behind a convicted felon? For now, the president, the former president, may be raising money and raising hell, but at the end of the day, the Republican Party would like to win, and they're not going to be able to win with damaged goods.
The Justice Department filed the indictment in Miami, a district known for expediting its cases, a so-called rocket docket. So, Sarah, could the trial be happening in the middle of next year's primaries?
It absolutely could. There's something called the Speedy Trial Act, and so Donald Trump can actually invoke his Speedy Trial Act rights and make this move very quickly. On the other hand, Donald Trump can also have a large ability to delay this. And so while we could see a trial in early 2024, there's also a chance that this could go past the election.
Donna, you're adept at giving out campaign strategy. How will Trump's opponents be able to use this on the trail this time around?
Well, I think initially they're all going to come and rally behind him for obvious reasons, because he is still the front runner in the Republican Party. But eventually some of the candidates, and I'm sure someone that many of us know very well, Chris Christie, will take the first stab at it, because after all, he's a former prosecutor. But Asia Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas, is going to speak out. But some of the candidates, perhaps even former Vice President Mike Pence, will be muted at this hour. But Donald Trump is going to try to rally the entire Republican Party behind him, fundraise off of this, and try to build up his momentum and his lead within the race right now.
So, Sarah, we've already heard from a number of Republican leaders, though some have remained silent. So there's a public face. Can you share with us the sense of what's going behind the scenes in the Republican Party tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, on the one hand, I think I'm hearing from a lot of Republicans that they feel like this is bad for the country, that Donald Trump has been pursued since the moment he took office to now that he's left office, both at state and federal level, and that while they understand the facts may be different when it comes to Joe Biden or Sandy Berger or other Democrats who have retained classified information, that at the highest level, Donald Trump appears to be a target of Democrats, and that's their political opponent right now. On the other hand, you're hearing from a lot of Republicans wondering, yeah, but does it mean he can't win a general election?
Ladies, thank you both. Our thanks to Donna Brazile and Sarah Isger. We'll be right back.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have much more on the Trump indictment and the political fallout with complete coverage on Good Morning America and the latest anytime on ABCNews.com, ABC News Radio, and our 24-hour digital channel, ABC News Live. That's Nightline for this evening. You can catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.